Hello and welcome to the T3 podcast on this auspicious occasion. Yes, it's frickin' Jesus Phone Day! The second coming. Why aren't we huddled on a pavement waiting to grab an iPhone 3, you ask? Because we're here bringing you a whole week's worth of tech in one easy-to-swallow package. That's why, coming up on this week's epic show, it's a sellout. Oh, sorry. It's a sellout. O2's iPhone website melts down amid pre-ordering frenzy. We'll be continuing our theme of entertainment disasters with the rest of this podcast. No, with the worst 10 game to film transfers. And find out how you can pack 50 megapixels in your extraordinarily large combat trouser pockets. Joining me on this gadgeting gallivant through our Garden of Gadge is, of course, T3's Mr. Duncan Bell.
Hello. Welcome. That was good.
Thank you.
That was your best intro for a while.
Do you think?
I thought. Yes.
I went all out.
Not the other ones were bad.
No.
That one was wicked.
Excellent.
Except you forgot to mention the sponsor.
Oh.
Penny Bids, isn't it? Pence Bids.
Pence Bids.
I've been buying things for pence from them all week. And I recommend that you do too, listeners.
Did you get the spa package in the end?
Yes. And it was from Spa, the grocers. It turned out.
No, they don't.
That was
really
weak. I apologise for that.
Spa shopping bags. They do nice spa packages, though, and other things. Anyway, yes, pencebids.com. I think we've mentioned them enough times now.
Yep.
Now, Duncan, what with this glorious weather we've been having, as I just try and dry off here, I can't imagine anything could dent that sunny disposition of yours, but I'll ask anyway. Anything doing your nut this week?
I'll tell you what's been doing my nut this week, Dan. It's The Guardian again, actually. I was reading The Guardian,
the
by Grawniak. Mistake. Yeah, and I think I've brought it up before, actually. They have this sort of gaming blog, and they had this guy talking about, somebody from Microsoft has said, well, we know that the Wii is outselling us 10 billion to one, but it's basically a novelty item and people are going to grow out of it. And you'd expect somebody from Microsoft to say that, and I didn't particularly mind that, but because obviously it was a blog thing, and there was all these replies underneath from all these people going, yeah, it is a novelty thing. I bought it and I played it for 10 minutes and I threw it away and now I just play Halo 3 all
who
the time.
Who are these people who buy all three consoles and then throw them away?
People have a lot of time on their hands because that's why they've got time to go on The Guardian's stupid website and air their ridiculous views.
Well, this sounds like a combination of rants because you've brought up forums before.
Yeah, I hate forums and I hate people who say that the Wii is only for kids. Because I'm by no means a kid, as my appearance and world-weary disposition obviously signals. I love the Wii. I enjoy it greatly. Because I think the thing about the Wii, and I think the thing a lot of people misunderstand, people who are pretentious about computer games, is they've got the idea into their head that something like GTA 4 is some sort of great work of art. But the way that I look at it is basically, okay, the Wii may be, in essence, maybe for kids, but the Wii is like great children's literature.
I see.
Games on the PS3 and the Xbox are like very poor adult literature.
So it's
like
sort
Robert
of,
Ludlum.
It's kind of Harry Potter versus Dean Koontz.
I wouldn't say
like
Harry Potter because I'm not a big fan of Harry Potter. And ironically, I am a big fan of Dean Koontz.
Oh, well, that's
completely
useless,
ruined my metaphor. No, I was thinking Roald Dahl as opposed to Danielle Steele or something.
I see.
Or what's the more blokey version of Danielle Steele? Andy McNabb.
There we go. Yeah.
I mean, who would any rational person take? Roald Dahl or Andy McNabb as an example of great... Anyway, that's basically what I think.
Yeah, going solo isn't quite as bravado as Bravo 2-0, though, is it?
No, it's not, but that's, you know...
I think we're missing the point.
You're an idiot sat home in your underpants playing GTA 4.
I'm what?
You're not in the SAS. Not you personally, I'm addressing...
Okay.
You may be, I don't know.
Yes.
What you get up into your spare time? You're very suave here. I don't know what you do at home.
Yes. What I do in my spare time is my business. Said Mosley. Right. Now, if you're listening to this, it means the world hasn't come to an end and the iPhone 3G is now on sale. Yes, doors opened at 8:02 a.m. today. That's Friday. Except that through the magic of pre-recording, it's actually the day before as we speak. So we can't bring you the excitement of the iPhone 3G launch. Although, Duncan, I thought we could perhaps recreate some of that excitement.
Oh, a role play.
I'm not going to hand you a box. If you could just react as if it would... you were the first person in the queue, and you just got your hands on the iPhone 3G.
Cheers, mate. Did you want my reaction, or did you want what I think the person who's queued overnight? Oh, okay, go on, do it again.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to now hand you the iPhone 3G.
Oh, my God, oh, my God. Ah! Oh, thank you, oh, thank you, thank you.
Ah! Commendable.
I'm a loser.
Yes, excellent. Well, that was very good. I think we brought some of the essence there. Of course, most of the excitement this year has been online.
Yeah, well, if you can call lots of people repeatedly pressing refresh and to be greeted with...
That's as exciting as I can take.
And then having to run away and check with their credit card company whether they have just shelled out, you know, six lots of payment for no iPhone every time they've been rebuying.
Yes, the O2 shop did seem to melt down somewhat.
Yeah, and Carphone Warehouse as well. And because it was saying, yeah, we're out of stock, but then technically they aren't in stock. And it's all very confusing.
Well, I particularly like the two statements on the O2 shop website, which went up on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
The first one said, iPhone 3G is only available in black. That was preceded by iPhone 3G Black is currently not available. So,
cheers for that.
Yeah, you can have it in
any colour you like, as long as it's a non-existent one.
Yes, there we go. Yeah, yeah. But Q started in New York on Monday.
Yep, and they've just reached London now.
I was going to say, I don't know if it is a fact that it's pissed it down all week here, but there haven't really been that much excitement outside the Apple store.
Well, I think that's because English people have stiff upper lips and better things to do. Well, I don't know if they have better things to do. But yeah, the rain isn't conducive.
Yes. Yeah.
Mind you, God, who wants to queue up in New York in summer? Ah. It's either you're going to be hit by lightning or roasted where you stand.
Well, I have the answer.
Oh.
It turns out that the people queuing in New York aren't actually Apple fanboys. Although, well, they partly are Apple fanboys.
There must be an element of that.
Yes, yeah, there is a degree of that. But they're actually political campaigners. They're called the Waiting for Apples group.
Okay.
Heard of them?
No, I'm afraid not. Who are they affiliated
they're
to?
They're campaigning for local organic farming by setting a record for the longest queue to buy a gadget made in China from hazardous metals and shipped halfway around the world.
I just feel depressed now.
I think, yes, possibly.
Even if you ignore the hypocrisy or the kind of missingness of that.
The irony does seem lost on them, but then they are Americans.
And into organic things.
Mm.
They're probably so malnourished that they can barely string a coherent argument
together. People are bringing them apples, obviously, or lots of organic food.
They should be pelting them with rotten apples.
They've been given a solar generator, this huge solar generator, which they're using to power a single iPod, which says something about solar power, I feel. They're also going to buy phones for Barack Obama and John McCain.
Because they can talk to each other.
They say because the world needs an American president to think different.
That's one way of looking at it, but
tedious, these
George
guys,
Bush fought pretty different.
Look where they got us.
Martin Sheen in The Dead Zone, he thinks pretty different because he's. Have you seen The Dead Zone? Christopher Walken can foresee the future, and he foresees that Martin Sheen's going to blow up the world.
Huh.
That's thinking differently. He strides out the Oval Office going, gentlemen, praise Jesus, I have unleashed the missiles.
Well, perhaps that's now they'll walk out the Oval Office and say, praise the Jesus phone.
Hey,
I'm now thinking differently.
I now know what the weather's like.
Yeah.
I've just downloaded some porn.
Wow. Yes. We will hopefully get out among those who turned out to buy an iPhone 3G here in the UK later.
As a technology journalist, I'm hoping somebody's going to send me one for no reason at some point.
People have been sending technology journalists ones for no reason early.
Not me, but
some guy in Portugal and some bloke in America. They've both got them.
Yeah.
Someone's done a full review.
Yeah, yeah. I think we have.
Yeah. Oh well.
No, we haven't. That's a joke. We don't review things unless we've seen them.
Yeah. There was a. You're looking very sheep.
Well, you say things to try and be entertaining, and then you suddenly realize that your reviews editor may look at it at some point and then try and kill you.
Okay.
So just to clarify, don't do that. Yeah, just to clarify.
Right, good.
Next subject.
Moving on swiftly. To the entertainment field, ranked slightly below exhibitions of deformed animals. I speak, of course, of the anti-genre that is the film of the game.
Mm.
T3.com has been burning its retinas to find the 10 very worst. Have you been part of this?
No, contrary to popular belief, sneering articles on the T3 website are not all written by me. This is written by Adam. He's a sort of ginger-haired tiny boy who we've recently hired.
Okay.
Every magazine needs one.
Well,
he's obviously had an extremely misspent youth, judging by this article, because he obviously knows all these films backwards.
So what gems did T3.com, small head ginger person?
Well, all the ones you'd expect, really. Uwe Boll's entire output, you know, Blood Rain, that's my particular favourite. House of the Dead, often described as the worst film of all time. Tomb Raider was in there. I can't remember if it was the Tomb Raider series or just the first one, but because there were several, weren't there? There was two.
Yes.
Has it struggled to three?
No, surely not.
I think Resident Evil, again, I don't know if that's the entire series of tripe or just the first one, but...
And number 8 is Super Mario Brothers yes. the movie.
Now, I thought this was actually, because to be honest, that is the worst one, in
well,
my opinion.
Apparently, it was the first major game to film adaptation.
Right. Possibly, hard to believe anybody went on to make. Yeah, exactly. People looked at that and went, well, that was a big success.
Yeah, wow.
That's been a critical, commercial, and artistic success on every level. Let's make more of this.
Well, let's have a listen to it. This is the beginning of the film.
Hmm.
Then something happened. A giant meteorite struck the Earth. Goodbye, dinosaurs. But what if the dinosaurs weren't all destroyed? What if the impact of that meteorite created a parallel dimension where the dinosaurs continue to thrive and evolve into intelligent, vicious, aggressive beings? Just like us. And hey, what if they found a way back?
Well, what if? A fine premise there.
And exactly like the game.
Yes.
That's what I like about that.
Strangely bearing no relation to any of the games. Although there was a nice message in there.
What's that?
He's talking about vicious beings like us, you see?
Oh, I thought it was a dinosaur talking.
No, that was Danny DeVito.
Was it? Danny DeVito was in the film. It did have a great cast, that film. Well,
am I making that up?
It had a cast of people who have been in great films.
It's not.
I think you're making it up. Or you're getting mixed, I think you might be getting it mixed up with John Leguizamo.
I'm getting mixed up. No. Who was the lead?
Bob Hoskins. But that wasn't Bob Hoskins.
I meant Bob Hoskins. I think that was Bob Hoskins doing an Italian accent.
Oh, dear. He's normally quite good at accents.
Or maybe Danny DeVito impersonating Bob Hoskins doing an Italian accent.
Possibly. Perhaps he was the voice coach.
The voice double.
But possibly. He did have a decent cast. It was Dennis Hopper was Bowser, sort of eating the scenery. And John Leguizamo, he's always good value. And Bob Hoskins was once a very good actor.
Yeah.
People forget, but he had before he did Long Good Friday.
Before
he
did BT adverts or whatever it was.
I know, he's such a whore. He's a short, hairy whore.
There are a number of inconsistencies in the film.
I've assembled a list of things.
Yes. In the movie, President Cooper, which is Bowser, is a humanoid descendant of a T-Rex, whereas he's actually a monstrous turtle in the games.
That's a good description, yes.
That's quite a leap.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Toad is depicted as a reptilian being in the
film. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Instead of a mushroom.
He's a bloody mushroom.
He is in the video games.
How difficult would it be to make him into a mushroom in a film as well?
I'm guessing they just never actually played the game and just sort of went, Toad, oh, he'll be a reptilian sort of being then.
We were probably lucky it wasn't literally a film about plumbing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a large
aspect
of it...
Might have been more entertaining, actually.
A large aspect of it was about plumbing.
Well, sort of. It was like sort of fantasy plumbing. It wasn't just Bob Hoskins turning up and scratching his ass and going, ah, Sam Wright Cowboys, put that there. Who put that there? Polish, was it? That's going to cost you.
Then there is the minor fact that it's set in present-day Brooklyn rather than some cutesy mushroom princess land.
Exactly like the exactly like the games. I know, it's ridiculous.
Hmm.
Anyway, none of that would have mattered if it didn't stink utterly as a film. I mean, people would have said, well, it's not very true to the game. But then,
still, what a cinematic marvel it is.
But I can't remember a single bloody thing about it, hating it. They just screwed up. It doesn't have any visual invention in it. Dennis Hopper is appalling. It's like, oh, man, stinks. So really, that should have been number one on our list. That was my only reservation about
that. Okay, well, every film has a trailer to entice moviegoers. This is how the trailer to Super Mario Brothers ends.
Super Mario Brothers. This ain't no game.
Or anything like it.
Yeah.
You can see them sat around their board table. This ain't no game.
Yeah, that's good. That's a double negative as well.
Yes. Meaning this is a game.
So it is a game.
Hmm.
So it's both factually and...
it's just all wrong.
Inherently.
So wrong.
Inaccurate.
So what was number one?
This ain't no good. That should have been the...
This ain't no good.
Tagline.
What was number one?
I've forgotten now. Was it Lara Croft? Or Tomb Raider, I should say.
Oh, actually, I've got it written down here. Yes, Tomb Raider. The teaser.com verdict that old Lara Lucas' dad was Miles better. Remember that one?
Yeah, because that didn't involve an actress. That involved the computerized... character.
Yeah, well, Tomb Raider starred Angelina Jolie, who is, you know, about as A-list as it gets.
Well, people always say that. Can you name a single decent film she's been in?
Well, that's irrelevant. I actually met Nell McAndrew, who was one of the Lara Crofts.
Was she?
Yeah, well, not in the film. She was sort of the...
I think there still is one to this day.
Yeah, when they went around and, you know, were doing promos for the game.
I think it's a slightly haggard sort
Nell
of looking
McAndrew
Lara Croft.
Would rock up. But I met her at the British Museum.
Oh, right. Well, she is getting on a bit.
Yeah, hey. Yeah, so it was a slightly surreal moment. But, you know, I had a chat with Lara.
Nice.
Okay, now. You know, she got fired as Lara Croft.
What, shooting somebody?
No, she got fired for posing nude for the cover of Playboy.
Oh, really? Well, you don't want somebody to be objectifying women in that way.
Because, you know, Lara Croft is in no way a sex object.
Yeah, she's an empowering feminist
absolutely.
Icon. It just happens to have absolutely enormous bangers.
Ginormous knockers that never move.
Yeah, and is filmed not that I've been paying in a kind much of attention. Up the arse sort of camera angle. In all
there was
of
lots
her,
of tie-ins, I remember, with Sony Ericsson as well.
Yeah.
Which is always a mistake in films, because by the time the film comes out, whatever technology they're holding is already dated.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
And although then it comes out on DVD it, right. And it looks ridiculous.
Oh, it looks well old then. Well, yeah, because with Casino Royale, we sort of knew how bad that phone, what was it? Was it the W800 that Bond used in that? That was a terrible film. Phone.
But good film.
Good film, terrible phone. Yeah, sorry, I got that the wrong way around. Good free running.
Mm. Now, Duncan.
Yes.
50 megapixels. Mm. Discuss.
Yeah, a bit unnecessary. I personally don't know anybody remotely good-looking enough that I'd want to photograph them in that kind of detail.
Yes, but, I should explain. This is the Hasselblad H3D250.
Mm. Well, the Hasselblads are renowned in... I did some research on this, and apparently they're renowned in photography circles. They're used by...
Absolutely.
Top fashion photographers.
Yeah, these are not your sort of happy snapper camera.
Yeah, this is not where you take down the pub to photograph.
No, they're pretty much used in studios exclusively.
Yeah.
And they are huge.
Yeah. Well, it must be. I mean, 50 megs.
Yeah, well, we should explain. This doesn't mean that in, you know, 2 years' time we're going to get 50 megapixel
No, the Duncan
combat cameras.
Bell trickle-down theory
no,
does
because,
not apply
because
here.
The sensor is actually... much, much larger than you'd ever get in a compact camera. So
right. I did wonder. It is just a physically enormous sensor rather than...
Yeah. Well, it's not that... I mean, you know, if you were to see it in front of you, it's 36 millimeters by 48, which doesn't sound a lot. But if you actually saw the size of a sensor in a normal compact camera, they are tiny.
Right, sure.
Tiny.
You must need one hell of a lens as well, presumably.
Mm, they're, I mean, they're you know, they're big, but not unfeasibly large. I could say, you know, if you had some... rather chunky pockets on your combats, it would go in. Do you know you could take an aerial picture of a field sized 2.25 square miles and pick out a laptop lying on the grass?
Oh, I thought you were going to say print it actual size.
Well, no, if you printed it actual size, you could see it.
Oh, you could?
You could have a 2.25 square mile photograph and there'd be a nice laptop sat there.
I suppose this is because people talk about megapixels, don't they? Because, you know, obviously there's this point of view that cameras, camera phones, etc. They've got more megapixels than they need.
Mm.
But if you are doing a billboard that's the size of, you know, one of the Times Square ones or one of the
ones, then a Hasselblad is your camera.
Yeah, it is actually useful for that.
Although, generally speaking, most people probably not necessary.
No, you're probably not going to need that. No.
Mm. Mm. I mean,
but it's a nice thing. How much does it cost, Dan?
The model before is about $40,000.
Oh, okay.
So
at the current exchange rate.
Yeah, yeah, you could pick one up for
pop over, fit in your hand luggage. Just about
easy. Interesting, it's known as medium format, which begs the question: how big is large format? And since we're on lots of trivia here, do you know what the world's largest photo is?
Largest photo? What is it? A photo
in megapixel terms?
100.
It's 16.1 gigapixels. Which is 16.1 billion pixels.
Okay.
It's of a painting...
Pixels are very small, though.
Yes, they are. It's of a painting of the Last Supper, stitched from 1,677 12.2 megapixel images.
And where's that kept, then?
God knows.
Rolled up in somebody's loft in the Vatican.
Well, that just about wraps things up. Time only for your quick-fire reactions to this week's last words, starting with the Fat Man iTube Red Eye.
Yes, lots of... lots of eye and lots of valves.
Mm.
iPod dock. I like actually these designs.
They're rather
iPod
lovely,
docks.
The Fat Man things, aren't they?
Yes, I think let's all pay 200 quid for an iPod and then 600 quid for a dock to put it in. Makes sense to me.
And there is I suppose there must be a limit to how good you can make an iPod sound, is there?
There probably is, but to be fair, a lot of I'm quite into these actually. And
does it sound warm and velvety?
It sounds pretty punchy. I'll tell you what sounds great is the Geneva XL, which is basically like having the Ministry of Sound in your front room.
Good. Anyway, I think we're getting past quickfire here. Moving on to Acer Aspire 1 goes on sale.
Oh, it's like E, isn't it? Mm. E plus, yeah.
These all seem to have came out yonks ago, and they're finally, you know, some of them I haven't even hit the shops yet. But anyway, Acer Aspire 1 in the shops. Excited?
Thrilled.
Good. Navman 3D sat-nav.
Yeah, nice idea. Roads still pretty much only in two dimensions, as far as I can see. Forwards and backwards, checked. Left and right.
But you can see buildings, so that's all good.
You don't really want to see buildings when you're on a road.
Possibly not. And the Tokyo Flash Galaxy.
Yeah, it's almost like having a watch.
Almost, yes. You can almost tell the time with it.
Pretty much.
Yeah, as with all Tokyo Flash watches. Okay, well, our Lovometer describes you as red hot.
Mm.
Yeah. Easy boy. No time to explore that, because that is all we have time for. Find T3 being hugged close to your newsagent's chest. Log on to T3.com for all the latest news, and hop onto iTunes to subscribe to us. Till next week, I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to the T3 Podcast.